It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark on this Thursday morning on Giants.com. We posed the question on Twitter, and we'll get to it, as well as everything else going on in Giants land. The question we posed today is, what do you guys think about Michael Strahan not making the Hall of Fame on the first ballot? Bill Parcells did get in. Michael Strahan did not. Warren Stapp making it over Strahan, which to me was the most egregious thing. We'll get to it in a second. But first, the Giants did make some news yesterday, Mike, adding yet another kicker to the roster. And apparently, we'll see what happens. Lawrence Tyne's a free agent. I guess this raises some questions as to whether he'll be back.
Well, there were always questions about whether Lawrence Tyne would be back. In case people haven't heard, the Giants yesterday signed David Buehler, the former Dallas Cowboy.
Buehler.
Buehler. Don't let life pass you by.
0.0.
Yeah. He was with the Cowboys for 3 years. He did not play in the NFL last year. He was waived injured last March because he had had hip surgery the previous December. Did not play football. From what I heard, he had a very good tryout. He was the Cowboys' kickoff man for two full seasons and four games in 2011 before he got hurt. He was their field goal kicker in 2010. He has a strong leg. Lawrence Tyne is a free agent. I know he does want to come back here, but he's 35. I know the Giants are not going to overpay for a kicker. So this is insurance if Lawrence Tyne signs elsewhere when free agency starts on March 12th. And perhaps it's competition if he returns to the Giants.
No question about it. And Mike, let's talk about the question we posed this morning. Of course, we'll take your calls on everything New York Giants football, kicking situation, offense, defense, you name it. Mike will answer your question to 201-939-4513. But Mike, first, I guess I was surprised. I wasn't sure that both Strahan and Parcells would get in just because of the quality of the other people that were up for the Hall of Fame this year. But if you were to make me guess heading into that Saturday, I would have thought Strahan would get in and Parcells wouldn't. But it ends up being the other way.
Yeah, that's. I was in New Orleans and I talked to a couple people on the voting committee, and that seemed to be the sentiment. I went out to dinner one night down there with a member of the selection committee, and he said, "Oh, Strahan will get in. I'm not so sure about Parcells." And you know, as we know, it came out the other way. You know, look, all Giants fans, including us, we would have liked to seen Michael Strahan get in on the first ballot. I ran into Michael Strahan Saturday night in New Orleans after the voting. He was disappointed.
Was he furious throwing bar stools around the establishment
or
anything
quite.
Like that?
No, he was actually sitting in a car when I saw him. But, you know, he was philosophical about it. You know, he said, you know, next year perhaps he'll get in, and next year the Super Bowl is right here in New Jersey. So, you know, they bring in the Hall of Fame members on the field prior to the Super Bowl. He could do it in MetLife Stadium.
That's a good point.
You know, he's going to get in at some point. I can't imagine, you know, the player who's fifth in the NFL in history, in NFL history in sacks, is not going to get in. Plus, he was an all-around end. All the members of the selection committee down there were saying, look, Strahan's going to get in. It was a surprise that Warren Sapp got in ahead of him. You know, to me, you look at it, who would you rather have on your team, Michael Strahan or Warren Sapp? To me, it's no question.
And, you know, maybe at times Sapp might have been the more dominant player for a single season here or there. But if you look at the totality and consistency over the career, to me, there's not really a question.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when Sapp went to the Raiders, to me, he kind of checked out for a while. you know, and from what I heard down there from the voters, The fact that Sat made two all-decade teams.
Who votes on those all-decade teams, by the way?
I don't know. The media, I guess. So that was a big factor. Again, it's not, it's disappointing Michael's not in, but he'll be in probably next year, I would suspect, although there are also good candidates eligible next year. You know, the one thing, though, I don't want this whole Strahan Sap debate to overshadow the fact that I'm very, very, very happy that Bill Parcells got in, and he's richly deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's the 10th winningest coach of all time. He basically, in some form or fashion, resurrected four franchises, took four franchises to the playoffs, won two Super Bowls with the Giants, went to another with the Patriots. This whole Strahan thing sort of overshadowed the fact that, hey, Bill Parcells got in, and it's great that Bill Parcells got in.
Now, you obviously covered Bill Parcells for a long time here with the Giants.
I did.
And everyone talks about what a unique person he was to deal with. I'm sure you have some good stories or some good memories of exactly what it was like dealing with Bill Parcells.
I have a lot of great memories of Bill Parcells. My first year covering the Giants was 1986, which was obviously the Super Bowl 21 year. And in those days, it was sort of before Parcells got too big. And, he would come down Wednesdays. We'd be sitting down in the press room in Giants Stadium writing, and we'd hear that elevator coming down about 5:30, and it was Bill. And every Wednesday he'd come down in the press room, almost every Wednesday, and just sit there for half hour, an hour.
Wow.
Just talk to us off the record about the Giants, his players, the league. I have very fond memories of those times. On Friday it was much more informal then. There was a table set up in the press room. He would sit down. The Friday news conference, as most Friday news conferences are, would be pretty quick, pretty brief. And then he'd sit there and, he'd say, so, well, who's playing this week? Bears and the Lions? Who do you like? And we'd kind of go through the games and we'd talk. And it would be another kind of relaxed, off-the-record thing. You don't really think of Bill Parcells that way. But
no.
And he from what I've heard, he did not do that. When he went to his other stops, New England, and certainly didn't do it in Dallas. But, then it was more, it was a bunch of Jersey guys covering the team. And he did that for years, and he stopped doing it right at the end. Right when Phil Simms got hurt in 1990, we didn't see him again.
Is that true?
Yeah. But I have a lot of good memories of talking with Bill. And, when he was hired at New England and he started New England in 93, I was at the Newark Star-Ledger then, and they took me off the Giants for a while, and I had to go do some other camps, and I went up to the Patriots camp to talk to Bill, do a story on Bill, and, I sat down with him for probably an hour, and I still have very fond memories of that conversation. And, whenever I've needed him through the years, I've called him, gotten a message through to him, and he's always been very helpful, very cooperative. So I couldn't be happier that Bill Parcells is in the Hall of Fame.
Now, how mercurial was he? Was it depending on the day, what type of mood he was in
went
down?
You could never predict what you were going to get from Bill Parcells. Not from one day to another, from one question to another. I mean, he was just, but that was his nature. And he, he was, he didn't just manipulate players. He manipulated the media. And he was very good at it.
He enjoyed it, too, I think.
Oh, he loved it. There was nothing like a Bill Parcells news conference.
And it doesn't even sound like it was a news conference. It just sounds like it's a conversation.
A lot of times it was. I mean, the more formal setting, it was a news conference. But when it got to the end there, we were just talking. It really was just a conversation. And, he had his... he had things he just didn't want to reveal, like every coach. He was very secretive. And, 1990, Jumbo Elliott, the tackle, broke his leg and missed, 8 weeks, six, I don't remember how many weeks. And Parcells, we all knew that Elliott's leg was broken, but Parcells would never admit it. And probably every day, what's wrong with Jumbo? Leg hurts. What's wrong with Jumbo? His leg hurts. Totally. For the whole time Elliott was injured, all he would say was, his leg hurts. So that's just a perfect example of Parcells.
Sounds like Coach Coughlin last year. So what did the test reveal on David Deal's knee? Knee.
It's a knee, yeah. It's a knee, yeah. But, look, I love Coach Coughlin, but I've never seen him just sit around and BS with the writers after a Friday news conference.
Well, I don't think – I think the way the media is now and the way coverage is, I don't think anybody does that anymore.
No, with the tweeting now and, you know, everything is so instantaneous, there's really – you don't get that anymore. You really don't. And it's too bad because you don't really get to know these guys like you know, we got to know Parcells. And
quite frankly, I don't think there's as much trust between the coaches and the media.
Oh, there's
as
no
there
question. There's no question that there's a lot less trust. And, you know, back then, look, if he said something, you know, for publication, it wasn't getting in the paper and it wouldn't appear until the next day.
Right.
I mean, there were no blogs and there was no internet. So you're right. It was a completely different time. Just everything was, you know, now you say something at 5 o'clock, it's tweeted at 5 o'clock in 30 seconds.
So I guess the new environment, it's fair to say we can blame it all on Pat Hanlon.
Well,
is that fair?
Blame it all on Pat Hanlon.
I'm just kidding. We have Pat on the show every Friday.
Yeah.
We just
Great, and I think it's great that Bill chose George Martin to be his presenter at the Hall of Fame, a great giant, you know, that he relied on a lot. So, you know, even though – the point is, even though Michael Strahan – is not going to be inducted this summer, it's still going to be a great time for Giants fans at the Hall of Fame induction.
Going back to Strahan and Saf for just a second, it's actually amazing how similar a lot of their stats are. Saf went to 7 Pro Bowls, from 97 to 2003, went to the Pro Bowl every single year. Michael Strahan also went to 7 Pro Bowls every year from 97 to 05, except for 2000 and 2004.
Yeah.
Both times, both players were four-time first-team All-Pros. So that's another thing that they had in common.
Both Super Bowl champions.
Both Super Bowl champions, excellent point. Warren Sapp, or rather Michael Strahan, finished with 141 career sacks. He had 6 double-digit sack seasons. Warren Sapp, on the other hand, finished with 96.5 career sacks, and he had 4 double-digit sack seasons. So their numbers really are pretty similar.
Yeah, they are. Look, I'm not saying Warren Sapp was not a great player.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He
sure
certainly was. I mean, he was a dominant defensive tackle. I would just – and obviously I'm very biased, but you asked me – you know, someone came to me, you know, in 2000 and said, who would you rather have on your team, Michael Strahan or Warren Sapp? I'd say I'd rather have Michael Strahan. I think he was a more complete player.
I think he was more consistent, too. And I think taking a look at some of these years that Warren Sapp had, in 2001, for example, and that was in the middle of his prime years. That was only the 6th, 7th year in the league for him. He only had 6 sacks and 29 tackles that year. You never saw a season where Michael Strahan had 6 sacks and 29 tackles.
No. He played hard every game. I'm not saying Warren Sapp didn't, but Michael Strahan was in the middle of everything. And he was a team leader. He was a captain. He was everything you'd want in a defensive end.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can go to hashtag Giants Chat. All right, Mike, we haven't really gotten your take, at least not on the show in the morning, on the Giants moves the last couple of weeks. And I guess let's work backwards. So we'll start with Ahmad Bradshaw and the Giants deciding to move on from his contract this season.
Yeah, I was sorry to see Ahmad go. I like Ahmad a lot. You know, obviously no one plays harder than Ahmad Bradshaw. His toughness is legendary. He was a very productive player. The guy had 1,000 yards in 14 games last season. But he was being paid a lot of money, and, you know, he just had another foot surgery. You know, obviously his foot issues at this point are chronic. You know, I do know that Coach Coughlin really wants to put an emphasis on getting guys out to practice this year. He thought that the lack – players missing practice time last year was a reason that the team did not reach its potential.
And it's funny. You remember how excited he was early in the year when Bradshaw was practicing 2 or 3 days a week, and then all of a sudden that disappeared after the bye week.
Yeah.
Coach wasn't quite as happy.
No, and look, sometimes it can't be prevented, obviously with Hakeem Nicks, but I just think, you know, the Giants weren't sure they were going to get a full season out of Ahmad, and they decided to let him go. It would not shock me if he proves he is healthy, if they brought him back at a lower price, and I think he would come back. I think that door is open. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Obviously, he's going to go where he can get the most money. But, you know, I think it's a possibility. But he's still, you know, if he can stay upright, he's a hard-nosed, productive player.
Yeah, the question remains is, even if he does come back and the Giants do decide that they want him back and he can't find a bigger deal somewhere else, how much can they use him? You know, how can you adjust his usage so he stays healthy for more of the season?
You know, that's a good question, John, because if he's going to come back, I think you still have to use him a lot. Look, Andre Brown.
I think Wilson's still the starter, though. Even
I think
Bradshaw
Wilson's
come
a
back.
Starter, no question. I think Wilson's a starter. I think they almost switch roles.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I don't know. He certainly wouldn't be happy doing this, but Ahmad Bradshaw is a terrific pass protector on third down. I mean, no one picks up blitzers or defensive ends like he does.
And he can catch.
Look, he's one of the few Giants in history with, 3,000 rushing yards and 100 receptions. So I could see him returning as more of a third down type back, both for his receiving skills and for his blocking skills. You know, the number one job of a running back in a Giants uniform is to help keep Eli Manning upright. And Ahmad can do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down the road. You know, in my mind, the Giants have to find a running back somewhere. I mean, they can't just go into camp with what they have. So maybe that will be the solution.
How do you think they view Andre Brown? Is he a bruising short yardage back that the Giants think they can rely on? Or is that if they bring in another veteran back, is that the type of back they'll be looking for? Someone that can do goal line, do third and short, things like that?
No, I think Andre Brown is a he can be an every down back, but I think he's more a big goal line short yardage guy. I think they kind of look at him a little warily because, again, he for whatever reason, he's had a lot of injuries and he has not been able to play a full season.
Same with Darrell Scott. How do you think the Giants view him?
They like Darrell. I think he'll get one more chance this training camp to show what he can do. But
he better not fumble.
He has some size and he was a draft choice, so he'll get a look.
And he had some ball control issues too when he had the opportunity to play on kickoffs and running the ball, which gets you in Coach Coughlin's
doghouse pretty fast. Just ask David Wilson.
Rather quickly, no question about it. The other move they made on defense was Chris Canty being let go. This is the one that I was probably surprised most by because, quite frankly, once Canty got back from injury, I thought he might have played better than any other defensive lineman at times. He was in the backfield. He was pretty disruptive. But the Giants had to make a financial decision there, and they picked a guy with one of the biggest salary numbers, and they decided that was one of the easiest ways to address their cap.
Big salary number, 30 years old, has some injury history.
Yep.
I'm sure they looked at the free agent and draft-eligible defensive tackles. They must think they can get a replacement somewhere.
And Sean Rogers was brought back in
Sean Rogers was brought back there at a much lower figure. He didn't play last year. I just think Chris Canty did play well after missing the first six games, but you add up his age and his injury history and his salary, and I think the Giants think they could get just a productive player for less money. That doesn't mean Chris Canty's not going to go on and play well somewhere.
Yeah, I think he will. And he'll be missed, not only as a guy on the field, but, Mike, I thought off the field he was a guy that always said the right thing in the locker room. You could tell he was a leader that people listened to on that defense. He was a true veteran. He was a guy that I know Coach Coughlin loved because he was a hard worker, did everything the coaches asked of him. And I think that part will be missed almost as much of his play in the field.
Oh, no question about it. He was a leader. He was, he was the Giants' man of the year last year for his work in the community. I mean, no one was more philanthropic than Chris Canty, and you certainly admire him. When I talked to Coach Coughlin the day he was released, Coach repeated what he said many times, that Chris comes from such a good family. He does things with his mother and father all the time.
His dad's always around.
Yeah,
always
I go to the Coach Coughlin's J Fund golf tournament every year, and Chris Canty is the only player who plays golf with his dad every year. So, he'll be missed in a lot of ways, I think.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Mike, coming in. A couple tweets here. Marcus Erickson, this is in regards to the Hall of Fame and Strahan. Shouldn't the best player just get in? Why does time waiting play a role? Do you think that now sometimes what writers do, and we've seen this in baseball more, I think, than football in years past, where they say, we think this guy's a Hall of Famer, but maybe not a first ballot Hall of Famer. We want to reserve that right only for, like, the very, very, very special guys.
You know, I don't think you can make that argument this year because three first ballot Hall of Famers got in this year: Larry Allen, Jonathan Ogden, and Warren Sapp.
That's fair.
So I don't think that comes into play this year, frankly. I mean, yes, there's no question that there are voters on both the NFL, or I should say Pro Football Hall of Fame and Baseball Hall of Fame selection committees that feel that way. Like, you have to be, you know, Willie Mays or Jim Brown to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, you know, that did not happen this year. Three first ballot Hall of Famers got in, and Strahan, from what I heard, almost got in. So I don't think you can make that argument this year.
Fair enough. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alan down in Washington, D.C. Alan, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Alan?
I love the show, man. Just letting you guys know you do a great job. I love it, you know, especially not being in the area. You guys keep me up to date with what's going on in Jersey and what's going on in New York with the Giants, and I love it. So,
appreciate it, Alan. Right. Thank
there.
You.
You know, you guys are being very nice, but it's an absolute shame that Michael Strahan did not make it as the first ballot. The body of work he's done not only deserves that, I mean, it's well over. I personally, I'm not a big SAP guy, but even if I wasn't looking at it directly, it's a shame. I mean, Michael Strahan, what he did on the field, I can't even compare those two for me personally. I know you said that their numbers are very similar, and, you know, I don't know about that whole decade thing. I don't understand that, but just when they're on the field, what I saw out of Strahan, it was unbelievable. He just dominated, you know, and I think it's a shame, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's not up to us, you know. As fans, I guess, you know, we get upset about these things, but hey, what can you do? But for this season, you know, I'm actually looking forward to it. You know, I know we've made a couple changes. I'm excited about Wilson. I think he's up and coming, and he's going to have a great breakout year. I'm kind of curious as to why we re-signed Terrell Thomas. I know it's probably because we got him on the cheap, or, you know, we negotiated his contract at a very low rate, but he's been injury prone season after season. I don't know how much helpful he's going to be for us this upcoming season, other than being maybe like a veteran presence there for, you know, the younger guys. Yeah, I'm still kind of upset we let Bradshaw and Canty go. I understand the other moves, but, you know, I'm a big Bradshaw fan. He brings that motivation, but it does make sense. He's always injured, too. He doesn't even practice very often. So it all makes sense there. I wanted to ask one thing. What do you guys think about Victor Cruz, man? I'm really concerned. You know, I know everybody said don't be concerned, but, you know, we can't afford to lose this guy. He's a stud, and we need him.
Mike, what do you think? Alan, thanks for the call, pal.
I think Victor Cruz will be here, but I think it has the potential to get a little unpleasant. I mean, obviously he wants big money, and
rightfully so. He's had two phenomenal years.
But you know, you read the comments that John Mara made when he was in New Orleans, that there's a limit for every player. I think Victor is sort of under the assumption maybe there isn't a limit for every player.
And you got the feeling, too, and I wasn't there to hear the quotes. I'm sure you were. It did seem like that when Mr. Mara, at least reading them, said those quotes, it's not like they were just a couple dollars away either. There seemed to be some significant distance between what Victor wanted and what the Giants were willing to give.
Yeah, from what I've heard, that he's asked for quite a bit of money. And you know, but I still think it'll all be worked out. You know, there's a lot of reasons why Victor Cruz would want to be here, both on and off the field. So I can't imagine that some agreement will not be reached. I just can't imagine a world in which Victor Cruz will not be with the Giants in 2013.
Yeah, Victor Cruz wouldn't be getting all these Campbell Soups commercials. You wouldn't be getting all these Time Warner commercials if he's starting a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that he lives 20 minutes down the road. He grew up 20 minutes away.
And quite frankly, there's such a strong Hispanic community here. And really, you walk around the city, he's so popular with those fans specifically, but all Giant fans. I mean, honestly, I see more Victor Cruz jerseys than I see Eli Manning jerseys.
Absolutely. You know, if he goes to Green Bay, is that going to happen? I don't really think so. So, yeah, I think eventually he'll work it out. Although now he's, you know, last year at this, the thing that's a little disquieting is that last year at this time, he said, I will not hold out. he will not make that declaration this year. So, you know, that you don't want to see that. That gets unpleasant when that happens.
Now, here's the worry, too. I mean, it was pretty obvious last year, Mike, that the Giants' offense was not the same because they didn't have those two healthy top wide receivers in Nixon Cruz. So I think, and I'm sure Victor's agent is looking at it the same way, where you take a look at it, and in order to get the most out of Eli Manning, which is obviously the Giants' best asset,
right,
you want to have those two big-time wide receivers. So the Giants want Nix to come back healthy, but they also need Victor Cruz to play that role opposite him in order for them to maximize everybody's capabilities.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, if they get Nix back healthy and Cruz isn't here, they're kind of back to square one.
Unless so, Reuben Randall maybe makes a big step in year two, and I think they do like him a lot.
Oh, yeah, and I think he will make a big step in year two, but you still need – look, in today's NFL, you need 3-4 receivers.
You
there's
do.
No question. And Victor Cruz is a big part of the offense. You know, again, I think he'll be here. I think it may take a while to reach a consensus, but I think he'll be here. An agreement, I should say.
I guess the question is whether or not another NFL team is willing to really go nuts and go over the top and give up a first-round pick, yeah, and that might accelerate the process just by necessity.
Yeah. You know, I would be – I guess there's always a possibility of that happening, but it just seems to me that with the way – college football has played this year with the spread offenses, there are so many good receivers coming. You can get receivers. I mean, you don't to me, receiver is a position that you really don't have to overpay for unless, again, there's a guy you really have a commitment on that you're lusting after and you feel like you have to have.
Alan also mentioned Terrell Thomas, by the way, and the way I look at it here, Mike, with the type of money they had to dedicate
to
him.
No risk move.
Basically, it's would you rather have Terrell Thomas trying to get back from injury or some undrafted free agent from Lord knows where trying to make the roster? I'd rather take the chance on Terrell Thomas.
Absolutely. It's a no risk move. He is very excited about the chance to come back. He certainly, you know, it's been a long time, but in 2009 and 10, he was one of the Giants' best young players. I mean, he led the team in tackles, interceptions, and passes defense 2 years in a row. You know, can he get back to that? Who knows? But we'll find out. But, you know, Thomas Davis, a linebacker in Carolina, has showed that you can return from three ACL injuries. And he had them much closer together than Terrell did. Terrell's first was in 2005,
I think. He was a linebacker, though, right?
Yeah.
Linebacker and corner, a little bit different.
But Terrell maybe could play safety, could play in the slot. So, you know, I think you give him a chance and see what he can do. If he can't do it, then you gave him his opportunity, and that you say goodbye.
Two other quickies I want to touch on, Mike, before we say goodbye. One is if Giant fans seem to have a lot of trouble dealing, and just based on what the messages I get on Twitter all the time, dealing with the fact that Giants had to let Ahmad Bradshaw go. And quite frankly, I didn't realize there was such like a real emotional connection to Bradshaw from a lot of Giant fans, but he really had sunk into the consciousness of Big Blue fans, and he was a very popular player, and fans are not very happy to see him walk away.
No. Well, I think, you know, that often happens with running backs, guys that handle the ball a lot, and I think a lot of Giants fans can just identify with, you know, with him. He's a gritty guy. He's a try-hard guy. You know, he's as tough as they come.
And his work ethic and all that stuff.
So, you know, I think a lot of Giants fans admire him for that, and rightfully so. And I can understand why they're disappointed that he left.
One of the other big things we've always talked about the last few weeks is a lot of fans, every week, every day, really, I get this. We need to cut Corey Webster. Uh-huh. And I sit here and I say, guys, if you cut Corey Webster, you're down to basically three corners, four now if you count Terrell Thomas, on your roster. And your two starters next year are a second-year player that struggled in his rookie year at times, and Prince Amukamara, who's never been asked to be number one corner in the NFL. Give me some backup here. Explain why the Giants need to keep on the core, hold on to Corey Webster.
Well, because he's still a good player. He's a good, experienced corner. Cornerbacks are so hard to find. You know, that may be a position that you would overpay.
Yeah. Because of all the good wide receivers.
Right. And, you know, Corey was assigned the top receiver every week.
Yep.
Had to cover, you know, some of the best wideouts in the league. Look, when that happens, you're going to give up some plays. It just happens. And, you know, there were times when it looked, you know, like it was his fault. You know, we can mention the long play to Torrey Smith in Baltimore early in the game against the Ravens. You know, that he was the closest guy to Torrey Smith, but it was really, from what I've heard, was not his fault. He was supposed to get safety help on that play.
Safety help.
Yeah, so he didn't get safety help. You know, look, he played, did not have a good game in Baltimore. You know, you're entitled to one bad game in 16 years. The other thing that people forget about Corey Webster is that he has not missed a game, knock on wood. And I know it too. I know he's got the third longest starting streak on the team behind Eli Manning and Antrell Roll. And there's something to be said for that kind of consistency. You know, he's on the field every game.
And he played through injuries this year. He had a hamstring and a broken hand.
Yep. So, you know, to me, a cornerback with his ability and experience, smarts, leadership, very hard to find. I don't think you'd get rid of Corey Webster.
100% agree. Real quickly, tight end position. They re-signed Bear Pascal. Martellus Bennett's still a free agent. How much, with the Giants' limited resources here with the salary cap and all these sorts of considerations taken into effect, how much of a priority is it to bring back Bennett specifically, or are the Giants, you think, willing to just bring back somebody that'll give you that same type of production?
Well, I think they ideally would like to have Bennett. I don't know if it's a huge priority. I know that, you know, he did have a good season, but there are some flaws in his game from what I've heard. But, yeah, you have to bring in a tight end. You know, you want as many weapons for Eli Manning as you have, as you can get. So I would say, you know, I can't really speak how specific what the priority is for Bennett, but there's certainly you certainly have to bring in a couple of tight ends.
Adrian Robinson, how much progress did he make in year one?
Not a whole lot. he was out at practice every day, but he never got to play tight end in a game. I think he only suited up for one game, and you know he started from well behind anyway because he couldn't participate in the off-season program last year. He was finishing school at Cincinnati, so there's a lot of room to grow for him, but you know I don't think you can count on him at this point.
Finally, going back to that Canty cut, make or break year for Marvin Austin.
I think so. Yeah, I mean Marvin Austin, I think it's fair to say he was a disappointment last year in his limited time, and you know he was a second round draft choice that really has done nothing.
And it's funny, and I'll end on the funny note here. I got a call a couple days, or last week, I guess it was, and a fan calls up, and they're like, John, if there's one thing the Giants need to do this offseason, it's re-sign and bring back Ramses Barden. And I sat here, and I go, all right, that's fine. What are you willing to give Ramses Barden in order to bring him back? He goes, he thinks about it for a second, kind of, you know, silence, like he's contemplating. Any millions and billions it would take.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I thought was just what I don't get. What I'm trying to get people to do, and maybe you can help out with this in the mailbag. I'm trying to get the Giant fans who have the Ramses Barden obsession to jump onto Reuben Randle. Yeah. Well, let's just switch a little bit here. Yeah. You know, Randall's a tall guy. He's like 6'3", 6'4". He might not be 6'6", but he's shown more in one rookie year than I think Barden's shown in three.
I would agree. Yeah, I think I don't know that you give up on Ramses Barden, but. To me, Reuben Randle, and I think I wrote this in the mailbag this week, that he's the clear favorite to be the number three receiver this year.
Does Hixon come back?
Yeah, well, I think Hixon comes back. Yeah, Tom Coughlin really admires Dominic Hixon.
He's a great guy and a great teammate.
I think he comes back, sure. And I think especially if David Wilson's going to be the number one running back, Hixon's might need to return kickoffs.
And he can do punts as well if you don't want to use Reuben Randle there.
And I was just going to say the same thing. If Reuben Randle's going to have a bigger role as a receiver, Hixon may have to return punts. So I think Hixon returns, yes.
And maybe if Jaron Hosley has to be the third cornerback the whole year, might not want him doing punts either.
Right.
Another guy Jerry Reese said would be in the
mix.
Michael, thanks a lot as always,
my
friend.
John,
we'll talk to you next
you.
Week. Michael Eisen, John Schmoke, Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com every weekday morning from 10 to 10:30. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com.